Everybody, so I saw an interesting movie that I wanted to talk about because, strangely enough, maybe it has some biblical eschatology in it, if you can believe it. The Shape of Water. Have any of you actually seen this movie? It's not for kids. Definitely not for kids. I actually liked it. I actually, reviews have been mixed on it. But I was entertained. It was one of those movies that I was able to get lost in. And, you know, it wasn't hard for, there wasn't any bad acting or anything in the plot that just threw me out of it in the way that like plot holes or anything. But there were some really interesting elements in it that I thought, well, actually I thought somebody would have jumped on this like a long time ago, but I'm surprised that they haven't. Now, what's interesting about it is it is sort of. Do you remember that movie Splash, Tom Hanks, from years and years ago? It's almost like a darker, more like adult version of Splash. And somebody did do a video on this. And then I want to talk about like the biblical interspecies, like just weird kind of stuff with it. But so there's this video that somebody put together that said basically the shape of water is Splash. And you know, it's kind of funny. So like there's a scene where hang on 1 second, my computer isn't wanting to cooperate with me here. But yeah, so there's like one of the opening scenes, and I mean it is like the same camera pan and everything, but one of the open scenes in Shape of Water is you know, the woman, I'm bad at character names, but the woman's looking at the tank and just seeing this thing for the first time. But you get that same exact scene in Splash, but it's, you know, it's a mermaid instead of a fish man or you know, what, lizard man or whatever Shape of Water is. So you get that same exact type of pan around kind of scene in both movies, which is really funny. And then there's also this other, this in Splash, where they're wanting to cut open the mermaid, and you know, he says, I want to see everything. Well, but then you get the same exact type of thing in Shape of Water. We need to vivisect this thing, take it apart, and learn how it works. It's the same problem. And then you also have one of the doctors who has an issue with it, just like in Shape of Water. You got one doctor, and they actually look similar, which is weird. But yeah, so then you get this other scene where in Shape of Water he's saying, you know, the creature is intelligent, and you know, so you get that in both. But then you also have the breakout scene where, by the way, this video is gonna be loaded with spoilers if you haven't seen the movie. So spoiler warning, midway through the video. But the actual escape scene where they break the creature out, you know. In Splash, they wrap up the mermaid in like a blanket or something, and they run her out. But in Shape of Water, it's almost the same thing. They hide him with like wet towels and stuff in this laundry basket, and they wheel him out. And it's really funny because even the way that it's shot and everything, they're pretty similar scenes. So I thought that that was kind of funny too. Yeah, there's a bunch of other similarities. Oh, even the bathtub scene. So in Shape of Water, once they get the creature to the apartment, they got to put him in this salt bath thing, because he's like a saltwater creature. You get the same exact thing, even with putting the salt in the water in the bathtub. You get the same exact thing in Splash, which is just absolutely hilarious that it's that similar. But it's the same thing. It's the bathtub. It's the grungy apartment. It's the salt water. So you get the same scene in both. What else do we have? Oh, and then there's the whole sexual component, because in both movies the human being has sex with the fish creature. So you know, in Splash it's Tom Hanks and I forget the actress's name right now, but it's the mermaid, and then in Shape of Water it's, but you know, the genders are reversed. It's the woman, and then this thing, this I guess man fish thing. Even the ending scene is so It is so exactly the same. So they like, okay, in Shape of Water, they take the creature up to the actual body of water that he's going to escape in and get away. All these government officials are ch chasing him and everything. You get the same exact thing in Splash. They have this last moment together of, oh, I wish I could go with you, but you can't, but you sort of can if you want, but no, I got to stay here. You get that same thing in both movies. Excuse me. And then in Splash, there's like some tragic thing that happens, some accident. I don't want to give away too much spoilers because it's the same in Shape of Water if you haven't seen it yet, but you get some accident where the human, is, knocked unconscious or shot or, whatever, gets hurt and falls in the water, and then the creature brings them back to life with a kiss. It's the exact same thing. Brings them back to life with a kiss in Shape of Water and in Splash. And then they're together forever, presumably. So that in itself is really funny. I thought that was like I thought that was a really interesting way to connect those two movies. I can't even believe that somebody remembered Splash well enough to I remember seeing that when I was a kid, but it's been so long. Anyway, so and again, I say all this saying that I liked the movie. I thought it was an interesting and entertaining movie. But then there's this whole question of interspecies sexual relations and all this stuff, which gets into like a lot of biblical eschatology that people kind of, and I'm not even saying that they shouldn't do this, but they kind of interpret into the text into stuff because there's some pretty crazy things going on in Revelation, but even in past. In Genesis 6, the Nephilim, all that stuff. It's this interspecies. Even the non-canonical book of Jubilees said that they sinned against the animals, even, which would suggest to some that there was some sort of interspecies sexual relation going on that actually produced hybrids. It's strange. It's strange to even just that there's even a cultural fascination with it, with this theme over and over and over again. Beauty and the Beast. I mean, there's just over and over again you see this theme, and I'm curious, what is it within? I actually I kind of think, and this is I can't prove it. This is just my own subjective ideas about it, but I think there is some genetic memory within us as people that harkens back to the days of Mount Hermon and pre-flood stuff, maybe even post-flood stuff, where there was this type of thing that wasn't human but wasn't animal either, that was totally different than us, yet there was again, interspecies type of thing. Like the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody points to that and says that that's about homosexuality, and I guess that's a part of it, but what was really interesting is I don't think necessarily that when the angels came, they looked like humans, sure, but I don't think that they were so sex-starved homosexuals and they were wanting to break down the doors and stuff, saying, give us these men so we can have them. I actually think they were petitioning for angels to come back, and I think that they thought that these were angels, and that's why they wanted to have sexual relations with them. There's some interesting things on that. I mean, it could go either way. It just depends on your interpretation. There's some interesting things about different festivals that would have been going on at that time and things like that. But it seems like in human history, ever since it happened in, the Book of Enoch talks about it, but Genesis 6, if you don't like the non-canonical books, that's fine. Genesis 6 talks quite a bit about it, that there was a time where there was, in a sense, interspecies relations going on between men and angels. And even in this movie, in The Shape of Water, the thing was referred to as a god. Now, not it was jokingly sort of at first. It was derogatory at first. The main bad guy in the movie, that Michael Shannon, man, Michael Shannon is so good at playing bad guys. I swear, I don't like his positions about Trump, and I don't like all of his political views at all. But he is a phenomenal actor. But aside from all that, Michael Shannon, he plays like the bad guy in this, and he's the one that actually captures the creature. And the backstory of this creature is that it was something from basically the Amazon, and the people there were worshiping it, and even like giving it like sacrifices of like fruit and stuff that they would throw in the water to this thing. And they considered it a god. Now, throughout the movie, this thing does heal people. There's one of the neighbors of this woman, the main character, this woman, is like this old gay guy in the apartment next door, and he's balding and he's getting old, and he's wondering where his life went. And the creature like puts his webbed hand on his head and kind of makes his hair grow back. He also heals like a wound that he had, but he also like eats house cats and stuff, so it's kind of hard to see him as any kind of god. Like, who would want to worship that? And I don't even know if that was, and I don't even think in the movie that you're really supposed to believe that it was a god. But it's interesting because the main bad guy is like super Christian. He's like quoting the Bible all the time, but he's using the Bible for these really evil, just bad things. And it's kind of a interesting comment on how leftist Hollywood thinks of us Christians. And actually, I had recently, and this interview will be up soon, March 15th, me and Zoltan Istvan, because he wrote a short story about if Pence became president, if Michael Pence became president, and he forced scientists to convert an artificial intelligence into Christianity, and then the AI basically blows up the world. And I challenged Zoltan on that, and I asked him, has Michael Pence ever said or did anything that would make you believe that he is at all related to this guy in your story? And he said no. He's like, no, not really. It's just, and I'm thinking, okay, you're just kind of being antagonistic towards Christians then purposely. And he actually admitted to that. And it's okay. He was willing to admit what it was. He wasn't a jerk about it. He was just willing to admit what it was. And I actually appreciated his honesty there. That actually made me respect him a lot more, because it would have been typical for someone in that position to try to weasel out of it and try to say, well, it's just fiction, and fiction is just fiction and it's not based in truth, and the best fiction in the world is based on some kind of truth. Anyway, lost my train of thought there. I got too much on the Zoltan thing. Oh, okay. So yeah, so the main bad guy is a Christian. And he knows the Bible front and back. He knows all this stuff, but he uses that as his justification to just be the worst human being you can imagine. And it's funny because, like, Christians aren't really like that. So that might have been the only part that kind of threw me out of the movie, where it's like, well, I see what they're doing, but no one really believes we're actually like that, No one actually believes that. But that's okay. That was written into the story. But at the very end, and this is why I say it ties into the Bible. He's supposed to have all this faith in God, and that's why he's like super motivated and he's driven. Like, he's a total like capitalist. He's really, really driven to advance in his career, even though he's got a government job. So I don't know if they really got that. It should have been a private company. That would have been cool, but that's okay. But he's like super, super, super driven, and he embodies some what you would consider as Christian conservative characteristics, but then he's like totally this evil guy. And he said throughout the movie, when he's torturing this thing, this sea monster thing, he's like kind of making fun of the idea that people in the world think that this thing is a god, because it's like bleeding and it's messed up and everything. But at the very end, he shoots it twice in the chest, and he supposedly dies. He falls over dead, but then he kind of resurrects himself, and he goes like this and makes the bullet wounds disappear. And then he slashes the bad guy's throat who shot him. But right before he slashes his throat, the bad guy, Michael Shannon's character, said, "You are a god," and then he dies. So it was a weird kind of perversion of the resurrection of Jesus, whereas Jesus kept his wounds. He still has his wounds. This thing resurrected but healed his wounds. So in a sense, somebody could make the case that, they're trying to say this God is above Jesus. He's even better than Jesus. And that's why Michael Shannon's character at the very end admitted, wow, you are a God. Because his God, Michael, up until that point, his God led him towards despair in this terrible situation where he got himself killed, and his God still has his wounds. And not all of this was communicated in the movie, but this is, I think, underlying what's trying to be communicated. Jesus still has the wounds in his hands and in his feet, and he still has all that stuff. He still has a sore in his side that Thomas was actually able to stick his hand into. Yet this thing, this Amazonian god fish ugly thing that doesn't look human at all, which was actually commented on in the movie earlier, but he gets up from his gun wounds and puts his hand over his chest, makes him disappear. Now, what's interesting is the female lead, the main character in the movie, she gets shot too and she dies, supposedly. After the fish monster thing, it's called the asset throughout the whole movie, the asset. Once the asset heals himself, he rises from the dead, he resurrects, and then he sees his bride, the one that he loves, his bride. We're the bride of Christ. It's his bride who has died. He takes him into the water, right? And there's a whole bunch of biblical stuff about water and the Holy Spirit and everything. Takes her into the water, kisses her, and then these scars that she had on her neck, these injuries become gills, and she's able to breathe in the water, and she's alive. She's resurrected now. She gets a new body, right? She gets essentially a new body because these things that were scars, it's either they were gills the entire time and she didn't know it, or they were scars and this thing healed her and made them into gills. And it's not made clear in the movie. I looked up stuff online about it afterwards, and there's intentionally not given a clear answer about that. But either way, it's still like an antithetical Jesus type of situation here, except it's not Jesus. And she so there's a lot of that kind of stuff in it. Now again, there's nudity and there's a bunch of stuff in the movie that Christians are generally going to be uncomfortable with. So, if you're in that category, just don't even watch it. But, if you're kind of like me and it's like, well, I want to watch it and see what it's about. I want to analyze it later and research and, whatever. Again, it's not for kids at all, but it is a good, entertaining movie. It's like a while ago I did a video on the Age of Ultron, the Avengers movie, and I said even in that, like, it's a good, entertaining movie, but there's like a lot of this like Antichrist, anti-biblical, like there's a lot of that kind of stuff in it. It's the same here. It's an entertaining movie and the acting is just spectacular. I mean, it's really good. It's well written. It sort of is Splash. It's pretty much Splash, but for the adult. But again, there. I mean, it's rated, I think, R or MA. I don't know the. It's not PG-13. There's nudity and there's stuff like that. So, I mean, you might not want to watch it, and that's totally fine. You basically got what the movie's about just by me talking about it. There's a lot of other cool elements that I didn't really bring into this video because it doesn't have to do with what we're talking about here. But yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. This like antithetical Jesus type antichrist character that keeps coming up in these movies. And I don't fully know if even the writer knows specifically that that's what he's doing or if it's just more a generally accepted kind of way of writing. I don't know. Or maybe he was gaining inspiration from something outside of himself that he didn't even know about. There's a lot of ways to look at it, and I just don't know. I don't know how much of that, the Jesus stuff, was meant as an intentional. But think about it this way. Right when the Michael Shannon character, instead of atoning for his sins, he denied his God and he instead told this thing, you are a God. So he pledged allegiance to another God then he was instantly killed and died, you know? So there might be some redeemable qualities there. It's like, okay, yeah, you don't want to deny Jesus because even this fish thing, he can do whatever. But he's not going to provide you salvation. Any other god besides Jesus is the only thing they have to offer you is death, because that's what they're destined for too. You know, read Psalm 82. They're destined for death too. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Now, of course, throughout the movie, this Christian bad guy, he was quoting the Bible a lot and twisting scripture to make it, you know, see, but he wasn't actually following any kind of biblical principles in anything he was doing. So that's what happens when you're a Christian in name only. You know, if you're a Christian in name only, and then you only focus on the parts of the Bible you like, but not the whole thing, then you kind of run into this trouble, and then it's easier to kind of lose your faith when presented with lies and, you know, signs and lying wonders and things like that. Then it's easy to say, oh, I had it wrong. You are a god. And then, bam, you're instantly dead, in a spiritual sense. So that was an interesting parallel too. And that's why, again, I don't know if the writer had all this in mind. So there were two different ways of looking at it. And one way I think is complementary towards Christians in that way. Like if this is what your Christianity looks like, here's where it leads. You know, you can't just claim to be a Christian and then not follow any of Jesus' teachings and then think that you're going to make it out okay, because your faith is going to be weak. You're going to see some miracle and then you're going to go for that and say that that's God. And then you're going to die spiritually. You're not going to have eternal life. But then on the other hand, there's all the antithetical Jesus stuff that we talked about before. So it was really interesting. It was really complex. I think it was a lot more complex than people realized, or maybe that it was even intended to be. So again, there was a lot there. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you about it, and I'm interested to know what you think. Have you seen the movie? What did you think about it? Were there elements of the movie that I've missed? Do you think it's a revamped version of Splash? It is interesting that there is a lot of scenes that were pretty much the same. But yeah, leave me a comment. Go to joshpeckdisclosure.com and enjoy all the free content there. If you could, hit the donate button. That would greatly help me out. If you can't donate your money, you can donate your time by sharing this video, talking with your friends about it, and getting a conversation going. So I am interested to know what you have to say about it. If you're viewing this on Steemit, leave me a comment and an upvote, please. I'm trying to grow my Steemit community, you know, my Steemit audience. Follow me, leave a comment. I will reply. If you leave me a comment on Steemit, I will reply to you personally. All right, I'll do it. YouTube may probably not, because it's just YouTube, I don't know what's real. Steemit, at least I know what's real, and I know if you're talking to me on Steemit, then you're a real person. So feel free to do that. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Let me know what you think. And until next time, take care and God bless.